get your day started. It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Yep.
Today, welcome in to Sports 56 Mornings on this Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, day one of the NFL Draft. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, that's where family and fun come together. They got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on right now through May 10th. The Battle of the Brands, if you will, seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. Hot tub starting at $34.99. Swim spa starting at $16.99. You mentioned this ad. Receive a free cover lift with your spa purchase. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 64 degrees right now, on the way up to 84. Breezy with partial sunshine. And then tomorrow, we're looking at the strong possibility of some thunderstorms, although we will see some sun. Not sure exactly when, not sure exactly where, but I see a little sun emoji, but I do see 99% chance of precip. Saturday and Sunday, mixed bag, 55% chance of rain on Saturday, could see a thunder boomer, and then on Sunday, about a 25% chance of precip with the high temperature not reaching 80 on Saturday. We'll be at about 79. So still fairly warm temperatures right now in the month of April as we get closer to Memphis in May. Hour one of the program brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street in downtown Memphis, 150 years in the making. The revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. OldDominic.com is the website. Celebrate your wins with a guided tour and tasting. Old Dominic Distillery with their award-winning craft spirits. Swing by for a pregame cocktail or maybe a nightcap at Old Dominic Distillery. And how about this? Tomorrow night, Old Dominic Distillery will be at Memphis Zoo for their Roar and Pour. Experience the Tennessee Whiskey Trail at Roar and Pour at the Memphis Zoo. Roar and Pour features Old Dominic Distillery for an evening of tastings, music, and after-hours access to the Memphis Zoo. Whiskey lovers will celebrate Tennessee's rich distilling tradition, and they really do have that rich distilling tradition. Old Dominic Distillery. Coming up on the program today, NBA playoffs moving right along. We had two games last night. We had some interesting comments made by some Suns players after the Suns lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Pistons even the score with the Magic. We'll discuss that. NFL draft, as I mentioned, round one today with rounds two and three tomorrow, and then four through seven on Saturday. Kalen DeBoer gets a huge extension. We'll talk about that. And the big news yesterday involving us locally, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, coming out and talking in the affirmative about the city of Memphis and the Memphis Grizzlies. Also, Mike Vrabel announces something that he will do. We got a lot of Major League Baseball news to get to. More news from the transfer portal. Brevin Knight will join us at 7:40, Grizzlies television analyst. And at 8:25, we'll talk Major League Baseball with Kerry Miller. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. What's going on?
Not much. Getting ready for the draft tonight. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to this afternoon, watching my Cubs sweep your Phillies, make it nine in a row on the good way, in the good way for the Cubs and the bad way for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's amazing.
If only we could play the Phillies more this year. Wish the Cubs could get the Phillies on their schedule.
Rub
more.
It in while you can.
It's like bye games.
Rub it in while you can.
Phillies are like a bye game for the Cubs.
Eight straight losses, eight straight wins, as you said, for the Cubs, eight straight losses for the Phillies. The freaking Mets broke their losing streak at 12, so now the Phillies sit there with the longest losing streak. Yeah, don't depress me. I mean, right now it is not good. Nobody's hitting. Nobody's hitting. Jay Ham's always hitting. He's always ready to step up to the plate and go long, go deep.
I try to at least be ready to go, you know, especially on days like today, because this is like one of the busiest sports days of the year for my podcast guys, because we like to do watch-alongs with the trio of NBA playoff games and the NFL draft.
Oh,
all in one. We'll be on YouTube doing it live.
Fantastic. That's great. Check that out, folks. And it's going to be, like you said, a fantastic day of sports. But there's so much to get to. I got some interesting news when it comes to the transfer portal and Memphis. But we begin with Adam Silver. So the NBA commissioner came out yesterday, and this was the top story for a long time on ESPN.com. So obviously, when Silver speaks, people listen. Adam Silver reaffirmed the league's commitment to the city of Memphis, but added he would like to play occasional games or see them play occasional games in Nashville in an effort to widen the team's fan base. Silver was on the Pardon My Take podcast. Quote, Memphis has been a great market historically for the NBA, and there's an amazing history in that city and amazing culture. There's no reason why the Memphis Grizzlies can't be successful. He said owner Robert Pera has no interest in moving the team out of Memphis. He's made that clear. So there's a lot of things. Number one, obviously Silver has had some sort of discussion or back and forth with Pera. Number two, the Nashville situation is interesting because it's not a bad thing to be the state's NBA team. Like, it's not a bad thing for the Titans to be the state's football team, the Predators be the state's hockey team. The only concern for me is, how bad if they decide to do that? They play a half dozen games in Nashville. They sell out every single night. And then they come back to Memphis and they draw 9,000. I know Memphis has done pretty well, especially when they're playing well. But what happens if they just crush it in Nashville? I'm a little leery about having games in Nashville. But his original statement about the backing of Memphis as an NBA city, the Grizzlies, him saying they're basically going nowhere, that's got to be reassuring, although we haven't heard squadouche from the organization and not much really from the mayor as well.
I honestly don't know how many different people have to say the Grizzlies aren't moving for people to believe the Grizzlies aren't moving. Right. I really don't know. Like, who else?
Pera. I guess they're waiting for Pera.
I could literally, like, I still deal with people like, You think the Grizzlies are moving? I'm like, no, I've told you a million times. They're not going anywhere. I don't know who they need to hear it from. Maybe if God himself will speak to them in a dream or something, they will believe that the Grizzlies aren't moving. I mean, it's like, it's every time somebody says the Grizzlies aren't moving, it becomes a story. But then once that story goes away, people believe the Grizzlies are moving until the next guy says the Grizzlies aren't moving. Mm-hmm. And then that will be like 3 weeks from now, people are like, yeah, but the Grizzlies are moving, right? Like, no. They're like, Richard Smith has said, like, Robert Pera doesn't want to move the team. Like, everybody said, there's nobody that has come out and said anything about the Grizzlies and Robert Pera wanting to move the team. It's always been that he doesn't want to move the team. And yet we need these people to reaffirm that every 3 weeks for us to believe that the Grizzlies aren't moving.
No, you're exactly right about that. The reassurance is the owner. And even though Pera did not speak, Silver obviously spoke to Pera. Or he's getting this from Kleiman or Wexler with the organization. I hope to God that he got this from Pera, because if he did, that should be all the reassurance you need for those who have doubted that they're going to stay in Memphis. Yes, they got to get the lease done, the long-term lease. It runs out in 2029. We understand that. We heard the latest earlier this week about more money being put into Memphis and the downtown area, the safety, the refurbishment, all that. Those negotiations continue. But this was a very positive statement for those who doubted. But the second part of the statement, again, talking on the podcast, the Pardon My Take podcast, that's the Barstool, right? Barstool guys, is the whole Nashville thing. Do we want to embrace Nashville for some games? Gentlemen, I open up the floor to you.
No, I mean, because Nashville won't support it, and Nashville doesn't care about the Grizzlies.
Jam?
They don't care about it. I completely agree, and I don't think it would hurt us as much because they don't care.
Let me play devil's advocate. Okay, I'm with you, okay, but let me play devil's advocate. How do we know they don't care?
I will go to this whole thing when people talk about moving things. When has Nashville at any point in time shown any interest in the NBA?
I don't think they've shown any interest in Memphis, like helping out Memphis. I think you brought that team there for five or six games, and they sold out those games, they'd want to take them. I just don't think you open up the door to it.
I don't think they would still really care, even if they sell it out.
They wouldn't. I don't think they
just wouldn't. I don't think that they would sell it out either, though.
But they may look at it and go, well, they may look at it and say, it's okay. But Para may look at it and go, wait a minute. They're selling out those NBA games?
And here we go again. Greg wants to immediately move the Grizzlies.
No. Wait,
they're not going anywhere.
I know they're not going anywhere, but you still don't open up the door for possibilities.
Adam Silver doesn't know the relationship between Memphis and Nashville to begin with, like how these cities look at each other. Like it's not going to happen, and it wouldn't
wouldn't
be a successful thing anyway. Like it just wouldn't be. I know the Spurs play a couple of games in Austin,
right?
That's great. Whatever, you know, the Grizzlies have taken the training camp to Nashville, but you're not selling tickets for that. But I don't think anybody there cares that their training camp's there. Certainly not a bad Grizzlies team without Ja Morant in Nashville. They certainly aren't going to care about that. If maybe with Ja you went over there, maybe some people from like the Murray State fans come because it's a little cool, whatever. But like it's a dumb idea.
You don't think there's any NBA fans in Nashville?
Fans in Nashville, but I don't think that it's going to be at that point to where they overtake it, because like he said, their base for the Grizzlies just in general is weak.
But it may be a base for watching Giannis come in, watching Wemby come in, and all the other stars of the NBA. I mean,
the last thing the Grizzlies are going to do is take the good games out of Memphis. You'd piss off the Memphis fans. Hey, you know, LeBron's coming in, and he likes Nashville, so we're going to take that game to Nashville.
No. I'm talking about a long-term NBA team, whether it's Grizzlies or not, in Nashville. You guys are basically saying, like, Nashville hates the NBA, doesn't want the NBA. And I'm saying there's how many millions now in Nashville, and it continues to grow? It's not just all country bumpkins. There's a lot of them.
There's
a lot of them. I mean,
there's a ton of people in Nashville. Most of them aren't from Nashville.
I wouldn't count out and have a blanket statement and say that Nashville doesn't care about the NBA or care. I think you guys would be wrong. I think probably they embrace more and more and more stuff coming in, but they couldn't give a crap about supporting this team in Memphis. They couldn't give a crap about taking them away. I just say don't open up a Pandora's box. But the original statement, again, that the Grizzlies are here, and they're here hopefully to stay for a long time, that's a positive. That should be reassuring to the doubters. That should be reassuring. But, again, I think there's still people that go, well, until Para comes down from his magic kingdom and says something, well, we don't buy it. Well, again, you got to take Silver on his word that the comments he made, Robert Para has no interest in moving the team out of Memphis. He's made that clear. Well, obviously, he hasn't made it clear publicly. He hasn't made it clear to the Memphis media. He hasn't made it clear to the Memphis fan base. So, apparently, I'm going to assume he's made it clear to Silver. And that's all that's important. Silver knows, and he said it.
And Silver's also made it clear that he's not interested in having anyone relocate.
Right.
You know, so that I stood on that more so than anything. He's not interested in having a team move. Expansion, sure, but relocation, no, because that's ripping a city.
Yes, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You've done it before, but you don't want to do it. And it's not, they haven't done it. Have they done it under his leadership? Has there a team?
No.
Okay, you got to go back to Stern. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, the Nashville stuff, dumb to begin with. Hell, Nashville doesn't, like, while the Titans are bad, they don't support them. And that's their team. When the Predators are bad, they don't support them that much.
But that's with most cities, right? You can say that about
most
cities.
So why would they support a bad team that's not even theirs?
Well, it's not about the bad times. It's because when they're good.
Even that one year that we had them here back in 1997, we really didn't rock with the Tennessee Oilers because we knew that they weren't going to be here.
Was crazy.
If there were these NBA fans in Nashville would be like, some of them would say, like, no, I'm not going to do it by purposely because it's the Memphis team. Like, there's people that in those both cities that just resent the other city.
That's true.
So, like, they're going to be like, no, I'm not doing it because it's their team.
But not everybody. There are Titans fans here in Nashville, in Memphis, that go to Nashville, go to the games. Yes. And even hockey fans that go up and see the Predators. Not a lot of them, but there are some.
But even in here,
I went to a New England Titans. The New England Titans game this year was a Patriots home game, essentially.
That's what I was just about to say. Even right here in the great state of Tennessee, the Titans are not the top market. They're not the top squad.
But again, to be fair, when your team, whether it be a collegiate team or a professional team, is bad, most cities do not come out to support those teams. The Memphis Tigers basketball was horrible last year, nobody came out.
I knew it was a different deal with the Titans when the Cowboys started getting TV priority over them.
Yes.
Cowboys, Steelers, Packers, those generally, you know, legacy teams that people here root for before there was a Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, our local affiliates are pretty notorious with that. To mix it up. Oh, the team's terrible this year. All right, let's get some viewers. I mean, it's a smart business move. Let's bring in a team that's going to have the viewers because they're obviously not watching the Titans game. But, yeah, that's it was good to hear that. And to have Adam Silver step up the way he did. Now let's see the city and the Grizzlies step up and get this damn thing done. Because yesterday we talked to Teresa Walker, who covers all sports in the state of Tennessee, but she's based out of the Nashville area with an emphasis on Nashville. And we talked about how the owners of the Predators are stepping up. They are fronting the bill for the renovations to Bridgestone Arena. The Titans ownership is giving, what'd she say, $1.2 billion of the total amount of money that's going to the stadium renovations, and they'll be done in January or February. And then we're talking about, with the Grizzlies, like nothing from Para. I mean, in that article, they talked about funding from the state, from the county, the city, and then private equity. Well, what are we talking about with private equity? Are we talking about Para? Is he going to give something? So that's a big issue, but I have confidence.
I will say that on that whole thing too, FedEx Forum and Bridgestone Arena, not comparable entities.
Why?
Because Bridgestone Arena is one of the busiest arenas. They literally could have a country concert every single night and sell it out. That is a gold mine.
Yeah.
It is an absolute gold mine. They're one of the busiest arenas in America. They're going to put a hotel in there, which I'm sure they're taking all of the money from that hotel. It's right. They're putting a whole bars and restaurants. And so it's basically going to be another thing in Broadway of bars and everything else, as Teresa talked about with the food hall right across the street. They're not comparable entities whatsoever.
Well, the problem is that a lot of those acts don't want to come to Memphis for whatever
reason. Exactly, but that's the point.
But I'm telling
you, they're not comparable. They make more money. I guarantee you, they make way more money off that arena than anybody could ever do off FedEx Forum.
I agree with you. But again, if you enhance Beale Street and that area to make it almost like what do they call the thing in St. Louis or in Chicago? You know, the Village, whatever it is. They have it in Philadelphia as well. You embrace that. You make sure it's secure and safe. People want to come down. There's parking. Nobody is hassled when they go down there. And then maybe you start to get more concerts. Of course, they're trying to do that with Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium now, with the tunnel to be able to bring in the 18-wheelers to have big events. But you have to diversify these events, man. I mean, everything can't be either a rap concert or – I mean – Springsteen, things like a huge, they would sell out. I'm telling you, they would sell out, but they don't come here.
Exactly.
You have to go to Nashville.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm saying they're not comparable entities. Bridgestone Arena could hold an event, literally could have a concert every night if they want to. They've got every country act. They could just, whoever's in town, hey, you're at home, come play, and people will go.
But still, yes, while the Predators ownership will front the bill, there's got to be an investment made by Para in his own team that things could even improve, or not even improve from where they are right now with his team here in Memphis. If he does plan to keep the team, which again, Adam Silver says he's keeping the team in Memphis, then why not look to enhance any way you can everything that's going on in that arena, so maybe you get more acts, you get more concerts, you get more comedy shows to go along with the Grizzlies, and you enhance the surrounding area, more money comes into the city.
That's exactly what they're trying to do.
But how about giving some of your own damn money? You're richer than all those owners. I don't even know who owns the Predators, but I guarantee you, Para's worth more than them. It's worth more than is Strunk? Is that her name? Family that owns the Titans?
Adams. But it's about Adams' family.
Yeah. He has more money than them. He's one of the richest owners in all of sports. But every time we hear a story, it's like, okay, more state funding. Well, what about the ownership? Why not he also chip in a little bit? Because it's happening in Nashville with the Titans and it's happening in Nashville with the Predators. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. Then we'll take a final break and bring in Brevin Knight on the Grizzlies and what's going to happen here in the not-too-distant future with the offseason that's so important for this team that right now has begun a rebuild. And we'll get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs as well. Again, Old Dominic Distillery, our number one sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon whiskey, Honeybell citrus vodka, Formula 10 gin, available in so many states and growing and growing and growing. Head on down to the Distillery Bar. It's absolutely fantastic. When you go downtown for dinner or for one of the events we just talked about, make sure to top it off at the Distillery Bar with a beautiful nightcap with their award-winning craft spirits. Old Dominic Distillery, celebrate your wins with a guided tour and tasting. Come for the spirits, stay for the experience. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Last night, the Pistons evened it up with the Magic, winning 98-83. That series now tied at one. That ends the NBA's longest home playoff losing streak at 11. That dated back to 2008, the last time the Pistons won on their home court. Cade Cunningham, 27 points, 11 assists. Orlando struggled shooting the ball, obviously scoring with just 83 points. Des Bane, the former Grizzly, 2 of 11 from the field. And then three-point shooting, Eli, was abysmal for both teams. Magic, 8 of 32, Pistons, 6 of 26. So outside shooting from beyond the arc, not a factor in this one.
It was not, but that the start of that third quarter was, I mean, I think Mike Breen called it an avalanche, and that's what it felt like. I mean, Orlando had just could not score at all, and Detroit did whatever they want. They go on the 30-3 run. And at that point, even though they barely scored in the fourth quarter, it didn't matter. I mean, that was just it literally just felt like that. Like there was an avalanche and they had no way of stopping it, man. It was crazy to watch the way that whole thing unfolded. Because, you know, they talked about it at halftime. Like if you're Orlando, if you looked at your numbers, the way you're shooting, everything else, and somehow you're still tied in the game, you got to feel pretty good. Well, that lasted for about, I don't know, what did that go, 4 or 5 minutes in that third quarter? You didn't feel good anymore because, boy, oh, boy, it got ugly in a hurry, man. That was crazy.
Jalen Duren said the Pistons would be more aggressive. He would be more aggressive. 4 of 10, so he took 10 shots. But 11 points, 9 rebounds. The Pistons, Jay Ham, they out-rebounded Orlando 57-42.
That's really where it started. They got more physical than what they were in game one on Sunday. They brought that energy. It stayed close, like Eli was saying. It stayed close, and it was ugly and muddy early. Mm-hmm. But that second half, it's just like they hit that next gear, and Orlando still couldn't find the offensive gear. So they just stepped up and played great defense. They got some shots to fall for them last night that weren't falling for them Sunday, even though they didn't shoot the ball from deep well. Mm-hmm. They were decent from just the regular part of the perimeter.
It was funny that Duren said he was going to be more aggressive, and he comes out in the first quarter as 0.0.
Right. And I got to give credit to Wendell Carter for continuing to push and just be in his chest.
Carter's been good.
And they have a little – they have Angel Reese history as well.
Oh, really?
Wendell Carter is now dating Angel Reese, and Jalen Duren once upon a time did, not too long ago.
I did not know that. Look at that. We get some entertainment news from Jay Ham. So the Pistons – and the Magic even at one, so the Magic do their job. They get a win in Detroit. The nightcap, Thunder, they beat the Suns. Remember, we were talking yesterday, if you bet the Suns, money line plus 1,100, nobody in their right mind was going to do that, even though we've seen a lot of upset so far in the first round of the NBA playoffs. But the Thunder did not cover the 17.5-point spread. They win by 13, 120-107. The story within the story, Jalen Williams, who had 19 points, injured his hamstring. We'll see what happens moving forward with him. SGA went for 37, laughed in Dylan Brooks' face. Dylan, though, scored 30 points. And then the other part of the story, Eli, was Dylan and especially Devin Booker going off against James Williams. Booker said he has never once brought up the name individually of an official until now in 11 years in the NBA, and they brought up the name James Williams.
Yeah, and he went WWE on him. So people are going to start viewing this as a WWE if they're not held responsible. Is Vince McMahon back there charting things out?
They sent Vince home, but they don't have to have Vince cut a good promo.
I will say that the technical he got, I have no clue how in the world you give him a technical. I guess they thought he was like throwing the ball at him on purpose, but he clearly was just like trying to save the ball. Like it was going out of bounds and like the whistle had just blown. He threw it backwards, for goodness sake. If he's throwing that backwards on purpose at Jalen Williams, that's a hell of a shot, first of all. But so the technical was absolutely that is a horrendous call. There's no way in the world you should get a technical for that. Obviously, all the complaining about SGA and the foul calls he's get, like that is every game.
That's common.
That's every game that happens. The other foul, Booker had the offensive foul he was called for when he went up for the shot and hit. Was it Caruso? It was Caruso. Where they challenged it and lost. I understand somewhat why they called off a foul, but I'm with Booker. It should have probably been a defensive foul in that situation. I don't think it's like an egregious call. Like you're like, oh my God, that's where it is. The technical, that's egregious. Like that is just an absolutely awful decision to believe he was like throwing the ball purposely at Jalen Williams.
Booker said it just feels disrespectful. I know I haven't won a championship in this league, but I have been in it for 11 years now. So to get to this point, to be treated like that, for me to even be saying something out loud, it's bad.
The Jalen Williams hamstring injury, that's the big, I mean.
That's worrisome.
Okay, now you've got Wembanyama with the concussion, you got Jalen Williams. And this is, while this is a different hamstring, the other hamstring is what kept Jalen Williams out of the lineup for a lot of the year. Like he's battled this hamstring injury. So this is, that's a big deal. We'll see how serious it is. He was not able to do anything right after it. Like he said to the bench, like hammy. So that has got to be very concerning. Now this series doesn't matter. They don't need Jalen Williams to win this series, but going forward, and again, those hamstrings, that's one of those things that can linger as he knows, and as they know, for quite some time. So to have two big time players now of the top two teams in the Western Conference out with injuries or battling injuries. Again, Wembanyama, we know at some point will come back from the concussion, but you don't know how long it will take for him to come back. This one, you really have no idea, because if you rush him back at all, then he aggravates that injury and then he's out for who knows how much longer. And then that's the thing. You can't afford to rush anybody back from a hamstring injury.
Look, injuries have been the story of the season. They've been the story of the NBA for a number of years now. Not a surprise that guys are going down even in the postseason. You hate to see it. These are the best of the best this year as far as the teams are concerned. You want them at full strength. You don't want teams, they won the championship. Well, they lucked out because that team didn't have this guy. And then in the next round, if they faced this team, they wouldn't have had that guy. And we talk a lot about that. You want teams at full strength. It's a shame. Now, Oklahoma City is so damn deep. They ain't going to have a problem, even if Jalen Williams is out. They lost some games during the regular season when Jalen was out, but that was the regular season. I've never seen a team that is so deep that I think, seriously, they could post a second team that played separately and would have made the postseason in the West.
They could have had Oklahoma City Blue and Oklahoma City White, and they would have both made the playoffs. But
Oklahoma City Blue, that's their G League team.
Oh, that's right.
It is true. But just in general, though, they still will need their all-star coming down the street.
Oh, I think so.
They ain't winning it all without Jalen Williams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going to need
– they can advance, and they'll do something, but they ain't winning it all without
exactly.
Jalen Williams.
That's why I say every year when it comes to this point, people ask me by prediction, I'm like, whoever is healthy. The best of the healthiest.
The Grizzlies know all about the big injury in the postseason.
I hear you guys, but if they announced, and hopefully that's not the case, but if they announced today Jalen Williams was out for the rest of the season, he tore the hammies, and God forbid, hopefully it doesn't happen, I'd still pick them to win it all. I'd still pick them. I would. I'd pick him to win it all.
It depends on what Victor's got going on.
Well, that's
true. He's going to be back. Like it may take a while, but
as long as
he doesn't miss the rest of this series and they lose the series, as long as they advance and he's back in the lineup. But dude, that the laugh at point by SGA last night to Dylan Brooks was one of the most like just disrespectful, funny things I've ever seen.
Yes,
like, because you don't even have to say anything to just point and laugh at the dude. Oh my God, that was hilarious.
I hate the laugh more than anything. I really do.
And then that's just Canadian love between those two. You know, that's all it is.
Is that what the Habs do up there?
Because and SGA said afterwards, like, I love playing against him, and he's talking his stuff, and like, I just had to let him know. It's like, Brooks gets in with Dort, another one. It's all these Canadians are all fighting amongst themselves, but that was such the perfect, like, disrespectful thing to do that just gets your point across and you don't have to say a word. Like, I giggled. I was like, that is just hilarious. That just point and laugh at the guy. Like, this guy thinks he can guard me. Like, this guy thinks he can guard me.
But at least Dylan went for 30. So he held his own points-wise, but nobody can guard SGA. And then you were talking about the other things they said in the post-game. Booker was specific about the one official, James Williams. Brooks was more about the SGA and the fouls, which, again, we know every single game you can bring up that subject. But SGA is going to earn the respect of the officials. The way he plays, he's going to get to the free throw line a lot. So that series is 2-0 OKC. Tonight, three games. The Knicks get a point and a half at the Hawks with that series even at 1. The Cavs, a 2.5-point favorite at the Raptors, up 2-0. See, this is one right here I would look for the Raptors to get a win. To get one win in this series, and it would be tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it would be game three.
That's the one I would look at.
If they fall 3-0, we all know that it's academic at that point. It's a matter of just going to end at either 4 or 5. But I think they'll defend better tonight when they're at home. They'll get some home cooking. They'll probably take that and cover the spread, you know, go 2-1.
Home dog tonight. I would take that. Nuggets, the big game in Minnesota. Nuggets -2.5, a road favorite at Minnesota. I know Anthony Edwards and those guys are probably looking at that going, we're disrespected here. We're at home. We're even at 1, and Denver's the favorite by 2.5.
And then coming off the Jaden McDaniels comments about Denver and their defense, basically saying they're facing, y'all can't guard anybody, you know, but it raises the stakes up just that much more. And the fact that Adelman responded to it like, oh, yeah, we're 6 in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Next question. Let's go.
Exactly. I'm surprised. I thought the Timberwolves would be a slight favorite.
So did I.
I thought they would be the slight favorite.
Yeah. So did I.
Because I look at those two teams. Now, I know it's the 3-6 matchup, and I guess that's part of it. Like, you see the number next to it.
But even in it.
But I think those two, I think that's the most even matchup there is probably in this first round, even though it's a 3-6. Like, I look at those two teams as very even.
And another runaway in the latest award that was handed out yesterday by the NBA, sixth man of the year, Keldon Johnson of the Spurs, easily over Jaime Jaquez Jr. and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Folks, if your home or business is looking a little dirty, a little grimy, well, you want to make sure you get it cleaned up and looking great. Whether it be the exterior of the building, whether it be the roof, whether it be sidewalks, patios, driveways, those types of things, they can get very dirty. And the folks at Hall Power Washing Solutions can make it look beautiful, brand new once again. All you got to do is give them a call at 258-1399, 258-1399, or go to hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. That's H-A-L-L. I saw a thing that Roderick posted the other day, a driveway that had never been powered. 30 years of dirt and grime built up on there. And after photo, unbelievable. Looked brand new. Again, they can do an amazing job of getting whatever it is looking beautiful and new once again. All you got to do, again, is give them a call. You go to the website, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. You can see some of those examples of the work that Roderick does with Hall Power Washing Solutions. You can click right there to get a quote from them. You can also get other information about all the different services that they offer. And they cover the entire area. So wherever you are, North Mississippi, out in Bartlett, Collierville, wherever, the folks at Hall Power Washing Solutions can take care of you, your home, or your business. Again, go to hallpowerwashingsolutions.com or give Roderick a call at 258 $13.99. Get your home, get your business looking beautiful once again with the help of Hall Power Washing Solutions.
Brevin Knight joins us next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
That's me in the corner.
Welcome back, everyone. Rolling right along on a Thursday morning. Greg, Eli, and Jay Hamm broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. We've talked NBA playoffs and opened up with the comments made by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. And we're going to talk about both those topics and more with our good friend Brevin Knight, the Grizzlies television analyst, 12-year NBA point guard, Stanford graduate, and future Champions Tour golfer. You can follow him on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. He joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. What's going on, Brev?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good. My first question, though, is about your Giants. You got a big night tonight for your Giants with two top 10 picks. What are you looking for?
I am looking for game changers. So I wouldn't mind. We lost our defensive end to Sexy Dexy to get to number 10 pick. So it wouldn't be bad to be on the defensive side of things. But if there is an offensive player that is there, then I just want somebody who can come in and make an instant impact on the team the way that Jackson Dart has, the way that Scatterboo has, the way that Neighbors has. And so it'll be nice to just continue to add to that.
Well, I think there's a good chance. You got the 5 and the 10. At the 5, I mean, they could take another wide receiver. There's going to be all those guys more than likely available. And then at 10, you could still get a really good edge rusher if that's where you want to go, because the edge rushers are going to dominate the first round. So I think they could walk out of this feeling really good about themselves.
Well, that is it. At least there is true optimism for my Giants this year. We have in the past, we have had to manufacture optimism, and I think this is finally a year we're getting Harbaugh as a head coach. At least you have someone with a proven track record. We're not trying out somebody, and then from there you do have pieces to work with. So I'm excited about the season. I haven't been excited in a long time.
Was it Rudy Gay who said make your own luck? You had to make your own optimism.
that's what we've been doing the last 10 years.
I just pulled up one mock. Jordan Tyson, that's the wide receiver, Arizona State, number 5. They got the Giants taking him. So I think they can go wide receiver here. And then at 10, they got him taking Caleb Downs, if he's available. Safety for Ohio
State. Leave Downs alone. Man, he's supposed to get to 12.
That would be an incredible draft. What about Brev, the rumors that OBJ is working out and maybe the Giants are looking at the sign him, bring him back?
I saw Harbaugh talk about how they have stayed in contact and that he has respected him since he played for him in Baltimore, and so it will be an ongoing conversation. Now, if he can come in and you want to add him as a veteran presence, not coming in thinking you're going to be the number one, number two receiver, just come in to be a veteran presence. And if things don't shake out the right way, injuries are always a part of professional sports. It'd be really nice to have a proven vet that understands what it's like and what it takes to play in New York to be a part of the team.
All right, Brevin, a couple of things on the playoffs here that I want to get your thoughts on. How good are the Spurs without Wembanyama, and if he has to miss significant time in this series, could they be in trouble against Portland?
It is very significant, and it is because of his importance on both ends of the floor. And I think the bigger thing is without him on the floor, then it allows Portland, which is a rim attack team, to feel a lot more comfortable at attacking the basket. In game one, you saw a lot of guys get to the free throw line area and it's like, I don't think so.
Right.
Well, in game two, once he went out of the game, it was, oh, I see the paint. I don't really see Cornette, who's still a good shot blocker. It's still a nice size on the interior, but it's not the same person. Yeah. And so I think because just the influence of him not being there, not only does it give Portland confidence that they can do it, but it also allows them to play their regular game without having to adjust much.
And then Jalen Williams for Oklahoma City, if this hamstring injury were to linger, are they still championship level? Like, how good are they without Jalen Williams?
They're still championship level because you got SGA. And they had to play the entire year pretty much with Jalen Williams being in and out of the lineup. So they've been able to acclimate other guys. And one a big one for them will be A.J. Mitchell. Remember, he was hurt last year and wasn't able to perform. But if he is healthy, which he is, and capable, then that gives them at least another score to be into the game. They have enough other defenders and length guys to make up for some of what Jalen Williams gives them on the defensive side, but they were going to need offense. And at least they have a guy that they can turn to for offense. But I say it still keeps them as being a championship contender, still keeps them at being at the top of the list of those teams. But it definitely it allows everyone else to feel like you have a better chance of beating them.
Yeah, look, a few minutes ago on the show, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I said I think this is such a deep team that even though you lose an all-star in Jalen Williams, if he were to be out for any prolonged period of time, I would still pick them to win it. They would still be my pick. Is that crazy?
Oh, no. Heck no. No, I told you, I don't take them out of
right
being a championship contender. I don't take them out of being your top in the top two of who you think can win it, even with the Jalen Williams injury, because, like as you just said, they're that deep, and they've had to do it all. This isn't like all of a sudden he's been playing all year, and now all of a sudden he's out.
Right.
He's been dealing with the hamstring injury. Now, it was the other hamstring throughout the season that made him miss two stints with that hamstring, but they had to overcome. They had to continue to win and stay tops in the Western Conference, and they did that.
Okay, last night, the other game, well, actually it was that game, the Suns-Thunder game. After the game, Dylan and especially Devin Booker said what they said, but it was more so what Devin Booker said because he called out an official by name. There's no way the NBA will go as far as suspend him for like the next playoff game, would they?
No, heck no. It's not a suspension. You're gonna fine.
Okay,
but by just calling out his name, doesn't mean that leads to any type of suspension. There was nothing on the court, and in all reality, you should expect for him to go in and have that reaction with the call that was made
right
after a player on the other team insists that you call it, and you call a technical foul for him saving the basketball. Going out of bounds, and the ball never hit Williams in the face, and it hit him in his body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the weirdest technical foul that I have seen in a long time.
Well, the funny thing is the league will, in all likelihood, rescind the technical and then fine him for complaining about the technical.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to be a weird thing for them because you have to rescind that technical. Like, you can't watch that and go, oh, no, that's a deserved technical.
But if you rescind the technical, there was never a technical to begin with, so you can't find them, in my opinion, but they will.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is to say, if the action never happened, then there wouldn't have been the reaction.
Yeah, right.
But the lead, that is not the way it's going to be adjudicated. It's going to be you went in and you publicly called out an official. You can't do that. And not just calling him out, you called into jeopardy he was messing with the integrity of the game.
Right.
When
you go WWE.
Those are the words for me that went big. Yes. Those are the words to me that those are the ones that hit harder than just saying his name. But when you start talking about the integrity of the game.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That's different context there.
Brooks Dylan doing his stuff complained about the whistle that SGA gets, and everybody in the NBA complains about the whistle that SGA gets. What is it Do you look at it as he's just really good at this? Does he? How do you kind of look at the calls that SGA gets?
Number one, he's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
That is first and foremost. Secondly, he's a marquee player in the game, and that's just how it goes. But thirdly, they're not defending him in the correct way. The thing is, he gets all of his foul calls when he starts to make a move to the basket, and you want to ride him with an inside hand. And so what he does is he just takes his hand up through your hand. The biggest thing you have to do is, once he makes his move, you're going to have to just use your body and get your hand up and away from him. Anytime your arms are down or going towards him, he's going to continue to draw fouls because he knows how to get his arms underneath your arm. And so for defenders, it is now that means you got to keep your arms back. Now, what that means is it makes it extremely hard to guard him because now he's one of the shiftiest players and you're trying to say, I can't really route you. I can't I lose physicality once my hands go straight up in the air.
Yeah.
I'm not able to physically move you. But they're going to have to do a better job of being physical outside. And then once he gets into the painted area, you're going to try to get your hands up, contest the shot, and hope that he misses. But as long as hands stay inside when he makes moves to the basket, he's going to continue to get the call.
Brev and Knight joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. All right, Brev, so I'm sure you saw the comments from Adam Silver, or maybe listened to the podcast, the Pardon My Take podcast, where Adam was a guest and reaffirmed the league's commitment to the city of Memphis. Talked about owner Robert Parrish, said he has no interest in moving the team out of Memphis. He made that abundantly clear. But he also went as far as to say, why not make this the state's team and play some games in Nashville? What's your take on what the commissioner had to say?
Well, first off, I appreciated the fact of him, before saying anything else, saying that there was no interest in this team moving anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was first and foremost. The making it a state team, from the outside looking in, I hear and understand what he wants. But for those of us that live here, understand there is a different dynamic between the two cities. And
putting it nicely,
those of us that live here in Memphis, we love what we do and what Memphis stands for. And so, if we want to have an exhibition game there, I'm fine. Have an exhibition game there in Nashville. If we got to a point where there was such a craving for Memphis Grizzlies basketball in Nashville, then I think that's when you start to say, oh, maybe you have to look at it different. Same way San Antonio does with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down and play. But now, of course, that's their G League team in that area that they go play. So there is a symbiotic relationship in why they do it. We don't have that relationship with Nashville. I got nothing against people in Nashville. I don't have anything against that. I got to take my wife there to go shop sometimes. So I don't have nothing against it. But until there is a fervor for Grizzlies basketball, I have no intentions of acting like we just have to turn all of our focus to Nashville for whatever reason. We just need to turn our focus more to making sure that we are the best team organization that we can be that continues to support the Memphis community as best as we have, as we've done to this point.
Well said. Can't argue with that.
not arguing. That's
right on the target.
I don't. Adam Silver doesn't know the relationship between these cities. It just isn't. It isn't the same as you said, San Antonio and Austin. It's just a different dynamic altogether. What for the offseason for the Grizzlies in the draft? Knowing they're at 16, we know they got the lottery pick. We see what. How do you kind of look at what this team needs going through this offseason?
Well, it's outside of the draft, because as I say so many times, I don't put a lot of stock into the draft. We draft so many kids that we don't know what they're going to turn out to be. This is a grown man's game, so you wait till they get here. And when they get here, then we evaluate them. The biggest thing for me is the veteran presence that we're going to have on this team, whether it be at the big position or the wing position to help our wings. And for me, the biggest thing is addressing our size at this point and figuring out what the center position is going to look like. I like what we've done in terms of the wings. We get some size, some athleticism, something that is different than what we've had in the past. But you start to look at the roster. You say we got one big who has had injury issues here to start his career. And so that's not to say that those will continue, but you still need to have some backups. And so for me, figuring out what that size, it doesn't have to be drafting size, but in terms of just going through the summer, figuring out what that looks like.
So if I were to tell you last May, Brevin, the Grizzlies in less than a year will trade Desmond Bain, Jaren Jackson Jr., and most likely Ja Morant. Would you have, punched me, two, said you're full of whatever? I mean, it's hard to believe in a year the transition of this team, the transformation of this team, and now obviously in a rebuilding mode. It's crazy to think what has happened, isn't it?
Yeah, we thought that we were in a nice position moving forward with this basketball team. We're coming from the core four, get Jaren, that was the first piece to the puzzle. Then you're able to get Ja, Dez comes. And so you think like, oh, you got a nice young core that you can continue to build around. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Number one, you can't hold this team cannot hold three max guys. That was first and foremost, and then field the rest of the team. We weren't going into the tax bracket to do all of that stuff. So that was the Desmond Bane situation. The Jaren situation was kind of the fallout from the Ja Morant situation. And so when things aren't going well and a team has been put together and is not performing, you're not winning, then there are adjustments. This is the reality of the game. And you got to make adjustments. And so in order to get assets, that was the Jaren situation.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Ja as we go through the summer and what that looks like. But I think you go into a season, you go into it with a plan, and then there's sometimes where that plan just it doesn't get executed in the fashion that you continue with it. And so we're stuck with having to now make that adjustment. And, yes, we thought it was going to be one way, but in this game you better be ready to pivot and have alternate plans also.
Well, hey. Hit them straight today. Got a beautiful day. Go low,
man. It is. I'm going to try to conquer this course that I've never conquered. So you know what that's going to be like.
See, there's always the quest, right, to be able to conquer when you know it's probably impossible. Good luck to your New York Football Giants this weekend with the NFL draft. Have a great summer. Hopefully, we'll get the chance to talk to you, especially when we get near the draft and what the Grizzlies do in the draft. But he's the best. He's Brevin Knight.
I do not wish the Giants good luck. I hope they screw this draft up royally.
Easy now.
I love a Cowgirl fan. I just love it. Cowboys fan. Sorry.
He's Grizzlies television analyst, 12-year NBA point guard, Stanford graduate, and future Champions Tour golfer. He is the one and only Brevin Knight. Follow him on Twitter at BrevinKnight22. Thank you, Brev.
All right, talk to you guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Giants don't have Bill Clinton coming into their pre-draft press conferences.
Really? Clinton made an appearance? I didn't
see
that.
Jerry, darn. It almost ended Jerry. Jerry tripped getting up almost. It could have been bad. It could have been really bad. He tried to get up to go shake his hand, and he almost went down.
Oh, wow. Almost a header from Jerry Jones. That might have killed him. You're right.
Thought we were going to maybe get our new GM finally.
That'd be a way to go, right? Hey, everybody, ready to see the USA in a new All-Star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it all right here in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, and Suburban with that third-row seat. New Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings. Financing as low as 1.9%. You can go big. How about a new HD Silverado? Make no payments for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. Military, first responders, you always get an extra $500 bonus. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Nobody. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and your business today. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event going on now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.